The 7-4 vote followed 2 months of highly emotional public hearings. When the time finally came for the assembly members to speak, the emotion continued. Elvie Gray Jackson was one of the yes votes.
Like a lot of folks, you have family members that are gay, but I have a nephew who's gay, and his mom died in my arms, and I promised to take care of him, and I have. And I want to do the same for the rest of the people in this community that deserve equal rights, just like the rest of us.
Jennifer Johnston mentioned her political mentor, a man devoted to public service whose life ended in suicide. She also spoke of David Rose, an assembly member who had led the fight for a similar anti-discrimination ordinance in the 1970s.
And so is his memory and this other very special person, I am going to be voting in favor of this ordinance.
The 1970s anti-discrimination proposal passed the assembly, but the current mayor's father, George Sullivan, vetoed it. It was member Pat Flynn's compromise proposal that won approval last night. It sought to balance protection of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people in housing, employment, financial dealings, and public accommodations, with exemptions for churches and other faith-based organizations. Sheila Selcraig said the compromise should allay the fears of those religious groups that saw the ordinance as a threat.
It allows churches to hire who they choose to hire based on the values within the church. It allows Catholic social services and entities like that to choose their employees in a manner that's compatible with their values. It allows the expectation that men will be in men's restrooms and women will be in women's restrooms.
Flynn himself spoke of a highly popular neighborhood mailman whose route for decades included the assembly member's home. When the mailman recently retired, Flynn said he found a note in his mailbox.
Patrick, I appreciate what you tried to do. I'm retiring to Asheville, North Carolina, a progressive city, on August 2nd. Glenn.
Bill Starr said while some of the individual experiences of prejudice were tough to hear, he did not feel they established the need for an anti-discrimination ordinance.
I saw no broad sweeping indication of blatant harassment or a sense of bias that was communicated. I don't see signs that say no gays allowed, lesbians in the back, things such as indicators that are blatant.
Chris Birch agreed, saying he had seen no statistical evidence of discrimination.
We live in a tolerant community. I have not seen where we have a demonstrated problem in this community.
Although she voted against the ordinance, Assembly Chair Debbie Osiander felt Anchorage did have a discrimination problem.
I have a deep belief in the importance of protecting our citizens and being respectful to all of our citizens. In the course of the last 2 months, I've come to the belief that there are some citizens who need more protection than we're giving them.
At the same time, Osiander felt the ordinance might place too many demands upon small businesses. Osiander, Birch, Starr, and Dan Coffey voted against the ordinance. Flynn, Gray Jackson, Johnston, Selcraig, Harriet Drummond, Mike Gutierrez, and Matt Clayman voted in favor. Backers of the anti-discrimination ordinance were pleased with the vote, but also aware that the battlefield has now moved from the Assembly Chamber to the 8th floor of City Hall and Mayor Dan Sullivan's office. Pastor Jerry Prevo of the Anchorage Baptist Temple has opposed similar anti-discrimination efforts since the 1970s.
We will encourage the mayor to veto it, and if he doesn't veto it, then we would consider getting an initiative going and have the people to vote it down by the April election.
The mayor, who declined to comment on last night's passage, has 7 days to veto the anti-discrimination ordinance. It would take 8 votes on the assembly to override his veto. For KSKA, this is Len Anderson.